بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to the After School Adawa podcast. This is going to be our second episode for Ramadan. So Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. Hope everyone's fast as
Ramadan Mubarak.
Today we have a very, very special guest with us, right? And I know we say that for every single guest we have, but that's the thing, isn't it? Every single guest we have on After School Dawa is special, right? So today we have the man, the legend. He calls himself Fike, right? Like bike, but with an F. But I like to call him Halal Man, aka One Step Halal to Jannah. What's that? One Step Closer to Jannah 50, right? So One Step Jannah to 50, or Halal Man, or Fike. With an F.
You're butchering fake. This. You're butchering this. Let him introduce himself at this point.
No, listen, okay.
One man, Jannah 50 or something.
for those listening, it's like 12:30 right now, so I do apologize. Fike, I also do apologize if I did butcher it. I thought I was doing a good job for a second, but you know, I guess not. But yeah, so he has some really awesome videos. Please do check out his YouTube channel. Recently, he made a video about how to stay motivated during the pandemic, right? And he made a really interesting video that I found really insightful, really eye-opening, in fact, which is called Suicide. So please do subscribe to him. We'll leave his links down in the description. So I guess his YouTube channel and his Instagram page. But yeah. How are you, Fike?
Zakala for the introduction. Even though, yeah, I agree, he did butcher, but we move. But yeah, Alhamdulillah, I'm good, man. Ramadan's quite long, so Alhamdulillah, it's much needed. We all needed it, so Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Don't worry, man. I'm going to edit it, and in the final cut, it's going to sound, you're all going to sound like, you know, waste months, right? Because I'm going to sound like I did the perfect job. Like having a go at me.
Before we continue,
make sure you put this in the bloopers or something,
bro. Yeah,
or the raw uncut version, the truth of ASD
behind the scenes with Muhammad Imran.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, no. Before we begin, I'd just like to say about the charity stuff we were doing in it before. So, as you guys know, we promoted a friend of mine's fundraiser page. And that was for Syrian refugees in Lebanon, if I remember correctly. And that was so that project started a few weeks ago, and now Alhamdulillah they're on the ground now. They went last Thursday, I think, him and his mum, with the charity Syria Relief. So on the ground right now, and they're handing out food parcels. And in the edit right now, you guys will probably be seeing video footage or screenshots of them and photos of them doing this stuff on the ground. And yeah, as you can see, it's quite, you know, the kids are quite happy, and they're enjoying themselves, mashallah, and they have been handed out candy and toys and this and that. And I think, an estimate figure they gave me, or he gave me, was around 300 people every day they're helping. And they've been on the ground for about a few days now, I think 3 or 4 days. So roughly around 1,000 people, you could say, they've helped so far. And obviously that's your money going straight towards helping people. And you know, yeah, keep donating, because the donations are still being processed and that stuff is still contributing towards helping people. And obviously we have another fundraiser that you guys might also know about, but we'll talk more about that in the next episode, inshallah.
And again, this charity, you can find the link for it down in the description and in our bio on Instagram. But yeah, I guess before we start, Fike, so obviously I gave you like an amazing introduction, but I'd like you to tell us, so what are you all about? What is your YouTube channel about? And what are your plans moving forward?
Well, the idea behind my Instagram, my YouTube, the title is, listen, Imran, One Step Closer 50. Write that down for next time.
So there's no gender in the middle, yeah? Okay. I don't know where I got gender from, bro.
You see, no, just when you look at him, that's
why. Captain, yeah. So basically, the idea of One Step Closer is the whole page and YouTube is designed to make you helped you become one step closer to your goals, one step closer to your dreams, one step closer to becoming more motivated, more inspired, one step closer to Allah, and one step closer to what Imran said, Jannah. And that's the idea. But see, the problem with that was when I came with that YouTube name, One Step Closer was the name of a song. So
okay.
We had to put a number at the end in it. We could have done the standard thing, gone for the 786 or the 99 in it, the standard Muslim thing, but we thought we'd do something different. So 50 represents the, because originally it was 50 salahs, but if you pay your 5 salah, you get the reward of 50. So that's why it's One Step Closer, oh, 50. Mashallah. And that
that's
in essence
really
is One Step Closer, 50 is.
Damn, okay.
Sick, damn.
Well, inshallah, man, one day we'll be celebrating One Step Closer, 50's 50th. Anniversary.
Inshallah.
And hopefully by then you'll be able to pronounce my name.
I mean, I wouldn't have my hopes up for that.
Inshallah, though. And it's been 10 years.
But yeah, so alhamdulillah, at the time that we're recording this is our second day for fasting. What about you, Faik?
Yeah, second day.
Second day as well, yeah. So yeah, this is actually the second Ramadan in quarantine and lockdown, which I was surprised about. You know, thinking back, I thought this was the first, but you know, it just made me realize lockdown's been going on for a very long time, that it had last Ramadan as well. Alhamdulillah though, for us, I know that, you know, the masjids are open for Taraweeh, you know, we can actually pray and stuff. And yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that we can't do this Ramadan, but there's still a lot of things that we can do. And that's what today's episode is all about. It's about making some goals for this Ramadan. What is it that we can actually do during lockdown, right? I know that some people are a bit more free than others, in the sense that, you know, some people are a lot more, what do you call it, at risk of COVID, right? So they need to stay at home more so than the rest of us, right, who can be, you know, who can go out to the barbershop, to certain shops and stuff that are open now. But yeah, I guess since we got our guest, right, we'll start with you, Faik. What are your Ramadan goals?
Let's go.
Well, my Ramadan goals are kind of split because I'm in final year of uni. I've got my dissertation due in 11 days now, so... That's killer. So du'as inshallah. So part of my Ramadan goals is working towards my dissertation, and that in itself does take a lot of time. But I find one of the beauty of the things of Islam is you've got the whole concept of intention. So with the right intentions, even if it comes to like all this uni work and revision, you can actually get rewarded for it. So if you're making the intention, okay, I'm doing this uni work, why? So then I can make my parents proud, so I can get a good job and earn a halal income, so I can make more money, so I can give that money to charity and just do go into a profession where you can help others. If you're doing your work with these intentions, then alhamdulillah, you're getting rewarded as well. And I think that's a very important point to make for all those people who feel like, oh, I can't make the most of this Ramadan because I've got to revise, I've got exams and all this is going on. So I think that's an important point. So in terms of my Ramadan goals, essentially for me, what is my relationship with the Quran, because that's what Ramadan is mainly about, your relationship with the Quran, increasing that. So I'm hoping to inshallah learn some surahs, spend some more time reading the Quran, and just build on my relationship with the Quran. Hopefully, I think the main goal is just trying to learn more surahs. So I'm putting my effort into doing that, inshallah.
Inshallah, man. Inshallah. There's a lot of things there, a lot of things, you know. One thing I like to add to that Faik mentioned is, you know, a lot of people, they say like, I got exams, I got my dissertation, I got these assignments, I don't have enough time for Ramadan. I hear a lot of people say that, but like Faik said, that's not the case, right? We don't have to spend 12 hours of the day, you know, trying to go over, you know, from beginning to end of the Quran, right, every single day or something like that. It's nothing crazy, you know, you don't need to do anything crazy. Give charity, you know, read some Quran, do something, right? And honestly, in the end, it will benefit your exam, benefit the Definitely. Results you make. Don't be that guy, you know, the guy in the exam hall, when you go for that 9 a.m. exam and they're like, I can't fast today, I got this exam in the morning. I'm like, bro, you'd be fasting for like 2-3 hours, man. Relax. Okay, you can fast. So definitely make the most out of it. And I think for people who have exams and assignments in Ramadan, you're lucky, because now you have extra barakah in there, extra blessings, right? And you don't have, you know, the pesky shaitan lurking around, you know, trying to distract you from doing your work. But yeah, so Tahmid, what about you? Do you have any special plans this Ramadan?
Nothing special per se, just trying to mainly strengthen my relationship with the deen and also the Quran mainly. Because, you know, as time goes on over the years, your iman fluctuates and it goes up and down. And that's just natural and it's bound to happen. And so Ramadan is like, it's essentially like a refresher. It's a charger for your battery of iman. And so and obviously it's a month the Quran is revealed. So how do you not want to get close with the Quran? And obviously me being trying to memorize as well, I've obviously got to dedicate most of my time to it and try and finish it soon, inshallah. That's my main goal. Yeah. It's like how I said last year, innit? I got a lot closer to my family because we're in COVID.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're pretty much with the family all day, every day. So, and it's helping, alhamdulillah.
Yeah,
helping,
please help me, man. Walks, please, man. Help me. Jeez. Oh, Lord. All my siblings are younger than me. You don't know how annoying that is at times.
How annoying it must be for them, imagine. In reality, to have you as an older sibling. I think that's the real
truth. You know what? You got a point there. Fake. You know what my little brother said to me recently? He sat me down, right? Legit, very serious talk, right? He goes to me, he goes, listen, Muhammad, you need to stop joking around so much. I can't trust anything you say anymore because you joke around too much. I don't like it anymore. I was heartbroken, man. I was heartbroken.
I thought you were going to say he sat you down and he's going to be like, Imran, when you're getting married?
Oh, my days.
Sounds so funny.
He's done that too. He goes to me, Muhammad, I want a younger brother. I'm like, that's not going to happen, man. That's not going to happen. He's like, yeah, but like, if you get a kid, I'm like, my kid's not going to be your brother. That's not how it works. That's not how the whole family thing works. He's going to be your nephew, but okay. So, yeah, I think he's already been talking to you, like. But yeah, so Saad, what about you? What are your plans this Ramadan?
Every year I get asked the same kind of questions from my family, which is how many juz have you read? And it's just, every day it's just the same kind of target, you know. If it just feels like a target at this point, it doesn't even feel like, you know, in terms of cultural impact, to me at least, it just feels like you're supposed to complete a juz a day. It doesn't feel like you're supposed to connect with a juz a day, you know what I mean? It just feels too objectified, like you have to do it. And I think that's a lot of...
So, like, it's just become, like, a ritual.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the issue a lot of youth have with Islam as well, is that they just do it for the sake of doing it, because it's just a list of objectives you have to complete each day. Like, oh, yeah, okay, wake up Fajr, right, done, that's it, done. Wait for Dhuhr comes, done. Asr, Maghrib, Isha, yeah? And when Ramadan comes, you fast. And Ramadan's over, you don't fast, because you don't have to. So it's just a ritual. It doesn't have any meaning to it. And so for that reason, in the past few Ramadans, I've been trying to focus more on the reflection, and the pondering, the self-reflection. And just thinking about the ayahs and just reading the tafsir and looking at these videos online which break down the ayahs and kind of look at the meaning of it. What they call tadabbur in Arabic, which is just to reflect upon the ayahs and upon what these ayahs mean. And to me, tadabbur is different to just the tafsir, right? The tafsir is just the meaning, yeah? The translation or the meaning or whatever, what have you. For example, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, or praises to the Lord of the Worlds, right? But to actually consider what Alhamd means, what Alameen means, to reflect on the roles of these words, the structure of these words, the bigger context of these words, how they were used, what they meant back in the, you know, the Prophet's times, what they mean to us now, the modern context, right, the contemporary context, and all these type of things, they come as part of the double, not as part of the tafsir. Tafsir will just tell you, this means alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, it means praise to all Lord of the worlds. It might break it down a bit more, but that's as far as it will go. You see, most of tafsir, that's usually as far as it goes. But to actually reflect upon what these ayahs mean is, I think, a very important thing to do in Ramadan, especially because, as Nahmin mentioned, it's the month of the Quran. And if you, I feel like outside of Ramadan, people don't pay as much attention to the Quran. just naturally, because you hear it so much that Ramadan is a month of Quran, Ramadan is a month of Quran, that it just gets stuck in your head that Ramadan equals reading the Quran. So outside of Ramadan equals not reading the Quran, which isn't the way it should be, but you know, unfortunately it is sometimes how it is. So if you make the most of it in this month in terms of reflection and pondering, then I think that will affect you going forward, and it will unlock that kind of hidden love that you have with the Quran.
That is so sick, man. That is so sick. Saad, you need to make a video on how to go about doing this, right? Definitely, like we know, right? The Quran is for the people who ponder, right?
Yeah.
People who reflect. And definitely that means we should do more than just know the Arabic or just know sort of the surface level translation, because we know the Quran, how was it revealed to the Prophet Muhammad? It was revealed based on certain situations, right? It wasn't revealed in one go. So definitely knowing the context behind it, right? The explanation to why what it said was said, we should look into that. And I think a lot of people, they don't know how to do that. They don't know where to look. Where do I get these resources? Alhamdulillah, though, we have the internet today and it's very easy to do. So, Saad, if you could make a video for everyone listening, I think that would be a good job.
Inshallah. 100% I'm down. Inshallah.
Can I just add a point?
Go on.
So, you know, you mentioned that point about where things just become very habitual, like you're praying five salah because you feel like you have to do it, or you're just reading juz because now that's what the expectation is and it becomes a habit. I feel like the way to overcome this is just renewing your intentions, so constantly like reminding yourself, okay, why is it that I am doing this? Okay, I'm praying five times a day, but why am I praying five times a day? Why am I getting up now? Why am I leaving my work? Why am I leaving everything to pray now? I'm doing this to show Allah that I'm thankful, to praise the Creator, and just reminding yourself, because once we do this, I think that's one of the whole reasons you start your salah with the intention, is to remove all distractions from the world and just renew that, okay, this is my moment with Allah. When you're reading the Quran Ramadan, okay, I'm doing this because this is where the Quran was revealed. This is the book of Allah. This is Allah guiding me, speaking to me and all of humanity. So I think just if you continuously renew your intentions, it helps you get out of that, or it's a habitual thing and helps you truly understand what you're doing, inshallah.
So I think that's a really good way of going about it. You know, for a lot of us, our intentions sort of end up becoming, because my parents told me to do it, because I kind of need to do it, because I already told everyone else I'm doing it, so it'd be a bit weird if I don't, you know. So definitely taking that time to just renew your intentions,
you know. I think what Faik just added there as well is quite important in terms of the why, because the why question is what's kept like literally humanity moving forward the entire time, right? The why question initially leads you to iman. You know, when you think about someone that is non-religious, they ask the why questions in order to get to Allah. All these reverts you heard of, they question that if they had a faith before, they question their own faith. The why is this faith true? Then they get led to Islam. If they didn't have a religion, they question, why don't I have a religion? What's so important about religion that leads them to Islam? The Muslims, they question their own faith and say, why this, why that? You know, why are certain things revealed in the laws dictated by Allah? And it leads them further to Islam, right? And it connects them better with their creator. And so it's an important question that we should ask on a daily basis, especially to do with the salah. Because if you think about it, and I've said this before to my friend groups and stuff, salah is the only thing that's followed upon you like 24/7, right? And it's five times a day, and it's literally the easiest out of, you could say, all the pillars, right? Shahada is a given if you're Muslim, that's done, ticked off, right? Hajj, you only do if you have the means to, right? So you can ignore that for the majority of your life, especially as a student anyway, because you won't have the means to do it unless, you know, you get help for your parents, etc. But that's a different story. Zakat is the same until your work, right? Fasting you do once a month in Ramadan, right? And alhamdulillah, we got the opportunity, obviously we make the most of it. But out the other 11 months, salah is the only thing that you have to do as in terms of a fard thing, obligatory thing, right? Of course, you should do the sunnah on top of that, nafil on top of that, if you want to get the extra reward. But in terms of you fulfilling your role as a believer and fulfilling your right to Allah, right? And Allah's right upon you, and that relationship that you have with the Creator, in terms of maintaining that, the only thing you have to do is your five salah, right? And it's such an easy thing to do, because how long does it actually take you to do it, if you think about it? For me, I counted myself. It doesn't actually take me more than like half an hour in the entire day combined across all five salah to read just the fard, right? And the witr, of course. But across that, it's not more than half an hour. In 24 hours, I sleep for 8. Yeah, I might play around and eat, etc. Do these other things for about another 8. And then I have so much other time that's just there, and salah is only half an hour of that. So it's such a simple task that we're asked to do every day. Yeah, we can't seem to keep up with it. So it's very important in terms of the why that Faik mentioned, and something we should remember going forward, I think.
And definitely, it kind of goes back to Faik's name, right? One step closer, 50, right? The prayer, the salah, is the only thing. So the only gift Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us from Jannah, right? If you think about it, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, when he went on his journey, what was the one thing he brought down from the seven heavens? It was the prayer, right? So definitely, like, if we think about, okay, what is the closest thing in this world to Jannah, right? What is the closest thing, right? It would be the salah, it would be the prayer. Right, and of course the words of Allah, the Quran, right? So when you have these two things, there's the last things we think about today, though, you know, because man, I want to listen to my music, let me have my Spotify session first, then I'll listen to some Quran afterwards, innit? You know, we want to do everything else first, and then prayer, and then this. And like Saad said, prayer, it doesn't take that long. 3 minutes, 4 minutes, you're done, you know. Like Faik said in the beginning of this podcast, We originally was meant to, what, be 50 prayers, right? Slowly, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kept going back and up, you know, and took it down all the way down to 5 prayers, right? But the reward that you get, the quality of the reward, is still equivalent to 50 prayers, right? So definitely one goal that anyone should have this Ramadan is your prayer. Now, one thing the three of you have mentioned about your goals, right? And I want to ask you first, Faik, is about building that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran, right? So how exactly are you planning to go about doing this, right? How do you plan on going about getting that closer relationship with the Quran?
So one of the previous points mentioned, I think, by was about understanding what the Quran is, because normally when I memorize surahs, what I used to usually do, just read the Arabic and then just go off that memorize. But what I've done recently is I've bought an English translation of the Quran. So now that when I'm memorizing, I've got the Arabic in front of me, so I can learn the Arabic, but at the same time, I can also look at the English. So that way I understand what it is that I'm reading. And I think that just helps you understand the Quran a lot more and helps you become more reflective as a whole. I'm sure it's just like really cool when you can just say, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe," and just drop the English and just...
definitely, man, definitely.
But yeah, that wasn't the main point. The main point is understanding. Just
That's a good incentive, though, at the side.
It's a funny thing, actually, you mentioned that ayah, because it pops up a lot in the Quran. My dad said something to me once. He said, when that ayah is read, a lot of people think, like, yeah, who is this Amanu person? You know what I mean? Like, who is this man, woman, whoever? Yeah. Like, who is it? It's like some strange, disconnected being, you know? It doesn't, you know, click with them that it's actually them they're referencing. Allah is literally talking to you. It's a direct conversation to you. So
I think a lot of people don't realize that about a lot of the Quran, bro.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
it's Surah Fatiha in itself, right?
Yeah,
we read that every single prayer. Yeah. But that's conversation, bro, between me and Allah.
The thing is, right? It's like it's a simple ayah to break down, right? It's literally just addressing you, like a letter, right? Dear whoever. It's literally that. It's not the longest ayah in the Quran about debt writing, right? It's not that. Like, I can get that if you take some time to understand that. But to take some like time out of your day just to understand that Allah, whenever He references these words, is literally talking to the believers, i.e. you, then I think it'll open your mind going forward. And it's not something too hard to break down, you know, comparatively to the rest of the Quran, you could say, right?
Yeah. That's actually a really good point. And even if you don't know Arabic, you know, just learn those, just a few key words of the Quran. You know exactly, okay, wait, right now, whatever's being said is being said to me.
Yeah.
You know, we know that. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. And Fake, you made a really good point as well. I think I did the same as well. You know, going mosque in afternoon. You know, afternoon, I don't know. Did you go mosque in the evenings as well? You know, 5 p.m. masjid time.
I never had madrasa. I've been homeschooled with my ustadi, so I never had that madrasa experience.
Well, listen, alhamdulillah, you did it, man. Alhamdulillah, you did it. It was such a horrible experience for me, right, when I did it. All it was, we just had really moody teachers. They just hit you for no reason, just because, like, they had a bad day. So growing up with that, they kind of did the same thing, right? They didn't teach us anything about what the Quran meant or anything like that. Just the Arabic, you read it, you go home, and that's it, you know? That's the extent of it. But definitely, you know, having like an English translation of the Quran is a good show. I know that a lot of people, they're a bit worried about that as well, because sometimes the language can be very complicated. Is there a specific like translation that you have?
Well, the one because I asked like Mostaji and a few others, and they said a good one is called Kunzul Iman. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Kunzul Iman, okay.
Yeah, so that's the one I'm using at the moment.
Okay, sweet. So we'll have that down in the description as well for anyone interested. Saad, what about you?
Yeah, I use Abdul Halim's, translation. I think Abdul Halim was also the one that wrote the popular version, the Oxford version. It's quite simple. It's mostly layman terms, and you can understand. It doesn't use any of the kind of old flowery language like Sahih International does as well. Not saying it's a bad translation, but
it can get confusing.
It's like the thou and the thy and the lest and this and that. It's like you know, it takes a bit of time to.
I still don't know what the difference is between them. but yeah, so we'll have both of them linked down in the description. I think a really good shout for this Ramadan. I know that 2 days have already gone by, but one thing that people can do is, you know, just read one page a day of the Quran from English, right, from the beginning. That's what I did as well, just from straight from Surah Fatiha, and it's so beneficial, and you will definitely feel yourself get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if that's what your intention is when you do it, right? Always have your intentions correct first. But yeah, definitely that's such a good shout. You know, we already covered prayer and we covered the Quran. And I remember, Tahmid, you mentioned about family, right? Tahmid, are you here, by the way? Do we still have you? Yeah.
I don't know when you'll hear this story, but yeah.
Oh, now we can hear you. We can hear you just fine.
Good.
So, Tahmid, you mentioned family, innit? So what is it that you plan to do with family this Ramadan? That's different.
So, believe it or not, I'm becoming a chef. Not certified.
Tamid, bro, listen, it's okay. You don't need to lie on the podcast. It's fine, bro.
You'll see. Basically, I've been cooking a lot more, and I've been watching lots of cooking videos because obviously in quarantine, you got nothing to do, and I kind of want to try new foods. Foods that I've ate before that I currently have at the moment. So I started cooking, and a couple of my other friends started cooking. Abdul and I started cooking as well. And so that alone is like helping enough, because now I'm actually in the kitchen a lot if I'm cooking something in it. And it's like, mom's there, she's always watching over me. I'm like, nah, listen, I got this one's on me. And she's always trying to jump in. You know Asian moms, innit? Always trying to jump in and say, nah, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you put this in for this. I'm like, don't worry, I got this. And yeah, alhamdulillah, it works out well. And I'm going to make a lasagna soon, so hopefully that. Also, because...
what I'm hearing is after all these lockdown rules have gone, you're going to cook for us all, yeah? Is that what I'm hearing?
Inshallah, yeah. Sure, come down and I'll cook for all of you.
That was going to be wearing the next Nawab, bro.
Forget Nawab, you could eat at my house for free.
Gordon Ramsay needs to be 3 Michelin star cook soon, yeah?
I'm just going to charge this man on the door.
I'll charge you. I won't charge them.
I see how it is.
But also because we spend iftar together and like we pray together and all that stuff, and my whole family's actually putting in an effort to do more. It's not just me alone, and that really helps a lot.
Yeah, that's mad, because I know for you normally you don't have iftar at home, innit? Tend to have it at the mosque normally. I usually have iftar at home, to be fair. I like it. sometimes like I'll have it at the mosque, innit? But sometimes, bro, the mosque will have the greasiest food, man, for iftar, bro. I can't. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I lagged out there.
I know those Shafran and Maki in it, two mosques in.
Yeah.
Muhammad and Tahmid. They have like pizzas and burgers and chips and this and that. I mean, it's a mad meal, yeah. If you're feeling every single day, it's a bit too much. But yeah, I don't know if they changed around the menu with Ahmed, have they?
For
Shafran.
There's no real menu. It's just different people.
It's just biryani, bro. It's just different biryani each day.
It's like a different person will give it. A different person will give it every day. And they can make whatever they want.
Yeah, like we were talking about it before in one of the previous episodes that, you know, one of the things that we really enjoy about Ramadan is the fact that you see other people around you also fasting, also going through the struggles of Ramadan. You know, that's why Taraweeh is so beautiful. You know, that's why fasting together is so beautiful. And it goes back to the ayah of the Quran, you know, that tells us that, you know, those of us that came before, they also fasted, you know, the same way that we're fasting, right? You know, it's a sense that other people are doing it, you know, it's a struggle that we're all collectively doing, right? But then what's it like for, let's say, people who don't have other people around them? They don't have, you know, Muslim families, for example. Maybe they're converts, you know?
I actually know a lot of converts.
Yeah, I know there's a brother over here. First Ramadan. There's a brother over here in my area. I live in Gorton, right? You know, he's a convert as well, and he's living by himself. You know, so I guess, like, so what do we do about them, right? What do we do about people who don't have, let's say, you know, family to spend iftar with? You know, how do we get them involved in this sort of community spirit of Ramadan?
I think one of the best things you can do is just let them know that if they do need anything, is that you're there for them. And obviously, going over to theirs or just having iftar together, like, I know there's been another Reba recently, and this is their first Ramadan. So what they've been doing, a bunch of friends and people have come together, they've been getting them Ramadan gifts, some books to read and some, like, khajur sweets and just, like, gifts to, like, and present to them without them knowing. And even, like, a Ramadan card, all these small things. So when they open it, it'll be like, oh, this is my first Ramadan. There's people that care about me, giving me, treating me, all this. And when they associate Ramadan with all this giving and people caring with them, they're naturally going to remember, oh, this is what Ramadan's all about. This is what the community spirit of Ramadan exactly is. So even if they're on their own, like, they may be living alone, they know that there's people out there who actually still care about them, who are thinking about them. And even if you're not there physically with them because of COVID, whatever, you know that they're in your du'as, they're in your thoughts, in your prayers. And I think just knowing that actually helps a lot.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, man.
You know, even us and our neighbors, in fact, just today, Mama was like, our first iftar, we've got to give it to our neighbors. So she made a lot of food and she gave a portion to our neighbors. And like every Ramadan, it happens. And it's so blessed.
That's sweet, man. That's sweet. Tamil, bro, where's our iftar at, man?
Yeah, I would have given it you if you didn't move house.
Have to move away, man. But yeah, definitely. Like, I think in general for reverts / converts, right? Because I remember in Leicester, right, one of my friends, he converted to Islam as well, right? I remember him saying that what happens is usually, like, you know, just before they convert and when they convert, for that first week, they get treated so nicely by all the Muslims around, right? They get treated like family. They get treated with such excitement, you know, every time they go into the mosque and etc. And obviously, this level of excitement isn't something that's real, and it isn't something that any of us should expect as Muslims anyway, right? But it's there like that. And then suddenly, the next week comes by, and they get treated like strangers, and nothing happens, right? You know, I remember the same brother telling me afterwards, like, oh man, you know, the people at the mosque, because he moved cities because of this, right? So the people at the mosque are too busy. You know, everyone's so busy doing their things, you know, you're kind of left out. And that's kind of what we do in our communities. You know, we get gassed when people convert to Islam, but then we forget about them afterwards, you know. We forget that we actually need to, like, help them pray, get used to this, get used to that. You know, we need to know what they're doing for Eid. They're not going to exactly have a family to spend it with, you know. So definitely, we need to put more concern into that. Does anyone want to add to any of that before we carry on?
I'll just say something real quick. So there is an organization that's really good with this, named Aira. And of course, I'm assuming many of you have heard of it. Obviously, we should try ourselves.
Shout out
as well.
To Hamza Zorsis.
Hamza, but he doesn't work there anymore, unfortunately.
Never mind that.
No, Hamza. Still shout out to him because he's safe. Mashallah, very smart guy. Aira, they do a lot of this work. And obviously, that's not saying that we shouldn't try ourselves, because I'm sure at least one of us would know, a revert brother or a sister, whoever's listening. You know, if you know someone like that, then please reach out to them, especially in Ramadan, because like Muhammad said, they won't have anyone to spend it with like we do. And if they do have family, they might not reciprocate the same kind of feeling towards them, because a lot of reverts actually, their families are quite hostile towards them after they convert to Islam. So it's even more difficult. Not only the fact they can't connect on a personal level, but they can't even connect in terms of meeting at all. Forget just about the personal level. Aira is doing a pretty good job of this, I think, in terms of setting up new Muslim communities in very rural areas. Obviously, we're not sponsored by them or anything, but it's good to give a shout out.
If you want to sponsor us, but...
Yeah, man, you know, hit us up. We don't mind. You're a charity, so it might be a bit weird, but...
Listen, money is money, man. I don't mind.
You scratch our backs, we'll scratch yours. That's what you're trying to say. But, there were stories about... So they do projects like all around the world, and some of the places they go to are literally mad. Like, they're like, you would go from one city to another city to another city, and then take a 3-hour ride to like this town, and then take like a 2-hour boat ride to like this other village, and then from that village you go to a different village, and then they end up there. And it's like very far out places that it's very difficult to reach. And so obviously they get, you know, some of them might be hostile actually towards them, because they're like tribal areas that have not seen, you know, other human communities for a long time, and they're kind of aggressive towards outsiders. But alhamdulillah, all of them will at least be reciprocate towards the message of Islam, at least somewhat, and potentially, you know, a lot of them or some of them will actually end up reverting to Islam. And what I like about them is what they do is they stay and they do the most important thing I think you can do for a revert is teach them how to pray. They teach them how to pray, they teach them how to read the Quran, they teach them how to maintain the kind of five pillars. Just the basic obligatory action you need, you know.
No. You know, it's like the saying, innit? You know, catch a fish for someone, you know, you feed them for the day, right? But teach them how to fish. You feed them for the rest of their lives, innit, basically.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, right, with cool. prayer and Quran. You 100%. Equip them on how to get closer to Allah. You equip them on what they need to spend that time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the rest is there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. 100%. And I think sometimes what happens with reverts that I hear about, I've not had the chance too many times to connect with reverts, but you know, just in terms of why here, I feel like a lot of times when someone is teaching a revert how to pray, and that they'll focus way too much on the when they're teaching about Islam, they'll focus way too much about the kind of intra-sect stuff, you know what I mean? Like they'll start teaching them all about like fiqh and this and that, and it's like it's going a bit mad, you know, cause start from the basics, you know what I mean? Like they'll teach them all, like, yeah these guys do like they put the hand here, but you can also put it here or here, but they're gonna get
bro confused. It just shows where everyone's focus is
they're gonna get confused way too quick, like where am I supposed to put my hand again?
Okay. But yeah, anyways, so you know, inshallah we can talk more about
inshallah,
for Converse and Reverse, right?
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to add something on, inshallah, we can. I guess the last bit of this, because I don't want to keep everyone for too long anyways. I guess I wanted to say a story as well, and sort of add one like nice little aspect that you guys can also add to your Ramadan, which is the idea of secret deeds, right? Doing something that is purely between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Now, as Muslims, we know that we should always hide our private sins. Why? Because if we hide it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also hide our sins on the Day of Judgment, right? But it's not just sins, right? There's also the idea of hiding your good deeds. Not all of them, but some of them. Hide them. Why? Because you always know that the deeds that are hidden are the ones that, you know, your intentions are always protected for those deeds, right? You can't do them, you know, with a bad intention. Like, you know, I can't go and give £100 to charity in secret with a bad intention that, you know, people think I'm sick at charity. No, because people won't know about it. As soon as I tell someone about it, guess what? It doesn't become a secret deed anymore, you know? Let me tell you a story, right? When I was in Leicester for university, we had this one segment of the floor, which was just for ISOC, right? Just for the, you know, the prayer rooms and the wudu areas, right? And during a time, because I was a part of the ISOC, right? And we had like a storage room that was next to the wudu area in it, the male wudu area. So, you know, there would be times, odd times, when people wouldn't go there in it to the prayer rooms and stuff, where me and other brothers or sisters from ISOC would go into the storage room to sort things out in it, because that was low-key like our office as well, right? During this time when no one else would be there, right? There was a brother I knew. I don't want to say his name in it, but we'll just we'll call him. What should we call him for now?
Adam. Call him Adam.
We'll call him Adam for now. Yeah. We'll call him Adam for now, innit? Every single time, right? At a specific time, he would always be there cleaning the wudu area, right? No one would know about it. He didn't. Jeez. He doesn't do it during the time when everyone's there doing wudu, right? He does it when no one's there. Right, no one's in the prayer room, no one's there, and he's there cleaning the place, right, every single time. And the thing is, right, I would not have known about it if it wasn't for the fact that I was looking at the ISOC storage room in it at that time. Otherwise, I would have never known about it. Otherwise, no one else in the ISOC committee would have known about it, you know. And I think that's a good example of a deed that's just between him and God, because he doesn't tell anyone else about it. He actively goes out the way to do it at a time when no one else is about. And it doesn't take that long, right? It's not something that's very glamorous of a job, you know, that you can post on Instagram and everyone's like, oh, mashallah, this person's so amazing. You know, you're cleaning a toilet, you're cleaning an wudu area, right? It's something even better than that, you know? And that's a good example of something you can do in private. Other things you can do in private, you can read Quran in private. You can pray tahajjud in private. You know, maybe you go to the mosque.
Make dua for people, man.
Make dua for people, you know. Tahmid doesn't know how many times I hate on this guy every single night, you know. I'm joking. But definitely. So one thing that I would say that everyone should do is pick up one or two acts of kindness, secret acts of kindness that you want to do, right? Whether it's a good deed for yourself or for other people. But that's definitely a good shout. Faik, do you have anything to add to that?
I think something small, which could be a constant good deed, mainly because it's at night, is Surah Mulk. It's a very short surah, 30 ayahs. Like, I put it on Instagram today and it says, if you learn one ayah a day of Surah Mulk by the end of Ramadan, you would have learned all of Surah Mulk.
Wow,
but there's a hadith that goes, the person who reads Surah Mulk every night, then it'll act as a protection from the punishment of the grave. So in essence, you're reading the Quran every night. It'll only take you like 5 minutes, but you're also doing something that will help you in the afterlife. I think that's something small you can do every day that people will know. Just do it after Maghrib, after Isha, before you sleep. It's something very simple. And I think that's a small deed you can do for yourself. And yeah, like Tahmid mentioned before, making du'as for others. I think, subhanAllah, that is one of the most amazing things you can do in secret. Like, literally, they will not know anything about it. And alhamdulillah, at the same time, the angels are saying ameen and making the same du'a for you. Like, it can't get more amazing than that. So alhamdulillah, just making du'a for others and alhamdulillah, just an amazing thing.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, man. You know someone truly loves you if they're making dua for you, man, without
That's
you knowing.
Facts. That's facts.
Yeah. Or by anyone else, Tahmid, Saad. Any ideas for, you know, secret acts we can do?
Tahmid, you want to go first?
Yo, help people do their jobs for them without them knowing. Don't take credit for it.
Yeah, guys, do the dishes, lads. Do the dishes.
Now, for example,
you have your mom doing them. Do them yourself. Come on.
Little things, innit? Like, also, I volunteer sometimes at the mosque, innit? Sometimes, you know, Mia, Shafran. Yeah, yeah. You could even help out with that. The guys, you know.
Oh my god! So much respect. Because obviously,
some of us are blessed
with them.
Yes, some of us are blessed with having the mosques open, and so we should, you know, make the most of that whilst we can in this month. And with the regards to the jobs, just do anything anyone else would do in your family or your friends. If you see your dad brushing the staircase every day, just do it before he wakes up or something.
Yeah.
And you know, wake up, I don't know, cook. I don't actually cook. I mean, I was going to say cook breakfast, but then I realized the fasting, so I'm like,
don't need to tell them to do anything haram, bro. Calm down.
Yeah, never mind that. But you know, cook iftar and stuff like that as well. I don't know. Do whatever you can to help around. But don't expect any credit from it, because ultimately your reward is Allah and no one else.
Yeah. Saad, do you have anything?
No, I think you guys have mostly hit the nail on the head here, or the seven heads.
That's all seven. Seven heads.
I don't even know, bro. The most edits, I'm just following the joke. But I think, yeah, you guys have said everything. I think one good one that Mo mentioned before that I'll kind of reiterate is charity. It's a massive kind of expiation. One, expiation of sin. And two, a continuous sadaqah jariyah, right? Or a sadaqah jariyah, which is continuous, right? And something like that, it doesn't just benefit you either. Like, the du'as will benefit other people and it benefit you, you know, and that's fair enough. But, you know, du'as can obviously, we know, answer in different ways. Sadaqah jariyah, I feel, is something a bit more personal, you know what I mean? You're literally feeding someone for an entire day, for example, or you're building a well, you're helping contribute to a well that will water people and potentially plants and other vegetation and grow other fruits and you know, stuff for people to eat, and contribute in like a whole kind of, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard of the butterfly effect, right? Where one thing leads to another and another and another and another, and it can go down in a way where you never expect. So I think charity is something very important, especially in Ramadan, because usually they have big appeals going on. A lot of charities have big appeals going on, and they have easy contributable, easy manageable targets that you can contribute to. So, you know, something like £30 for a food pack or £60 for a food pack. And obviously, I'm not saying everyone should go out their way to, you know, spend all their savings or whatever on charity. You know, do what you can within your limits. But, you know, just a few pounds every day. What, like a couple of things I recently realized in last few Ramadans is these sites that let you automate your donations for like the last 10 days or over the month or something, right? And just make it like 50p a day or £1 a day, and that's £30 over the month.
Yeah,
I mean, or the last 10, really cool, yeah, bro, like over the last 10 nights, you want to, you know, get the biggest kind of ajr. £10, £1 a day, £10, right? And that way you don't even have to like think about it. Like, sometimes I feel like, for me at least, sometimes charity can be like a mental effort, right? Of like, oh, I have to give, like, I have to remember to give sadaqah. Oh, which projects do I choose? This, that, you know, trying to make the best, like, of it. But these automated kind of programs, they're automatically directed to where it's needed most, and you don't have to worry about how much you're contributing, etc. All this.
Yeah, that's so sick, man. That's so sick. But yeah, definitely, these are really good points, man.
And just add one point, like what Sa's saying about charity. I think one of the easiest things you could do is give charity, but not just for yourself, like give charity in the name of somebody else. So even if you don't tell, just make the intention that I'm giving this charity for my family, for my friends or whatever. And there's nothing even stopping you from saying, okay, this £1 that I'm going to give in charity, it's going to be for the whole Muslim Ummah, past, present and future. SubhanAllah, just think, how many people are you helping right there? Where if you put that £1 towards building a well, towards feeding an orphan or anything, just making that intention, you will help everybody genuinely, and you'll also be helping yourself. So just having an intention like that can go a very, very long way.
Okay, we definitely need to put in £1 just for that as well, inshallah.
Inshallah.
I know that, unfortunately, during, like, it's been very tough times for a lot of people, and I know that people have had, you know, their grandparents, their parents, their uncles, aunties, who have unfortunately passed away, you know, this past year because of COVID, right? This is a really good opportunity to build a well in their name, to put in some charity, like Faik said, in their name. You can do it for people who have passed away, people who have died, and it will continue to be charity for them. And definitely, you know, as something that's private, right, is, you know, ideally it should be to the point where, you know, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand gave. You know, It's so private that your left hand doesn't even know how much money you're giving. So you don't even know how much money you're giving. And what Tahmid mentioned, you know, helping out, helping your family, you know, we know that Jannah is underneath the feet of our mothers, right? So definitely when your mom does the dishes, it's Ramadan right now, isn't it? So I can imagine that a lot of us, our parents, our moms and sisters will probably be doing, making iftar, right? A lot of iftar, a lot of food. Right, so helping them with dishes, that's something sick you can do. do that every single morning after Fajr, man. We're always awake at Fajr time. That's something you can do, you know. Like Faik said, read Surah Mulk, right? You get protection from the hellfire for doing that. And not only that, right? There's something so comforting to be able to go to sleep knowing that the last thing that's left your mouth was a surah from the Quran, you know? Mm. Definitely, like, people fall asleep to the worst situations, right? You could fall asleep after, you know, coming back, you know, after doing like a whole night of sin and come back home, fall asleep, right? You could fall asleep like that. It doesn't matter what type of situation you're in. If you're falling asleep after reading Surah Mulk, I'm pretty sure you've had a good day, right? Mm. And I'm pretty sure you're going to have a good sleep at that point, you know? So definitely there's, the, you know, it's not just the surface benefits, but the benefits underneath as well. And all of this is for ourselves, man.
I just want to add one point as well. You know, because you've mentioned all about charity, but the Tahmid point about family, I think, is beyond important, because what tends to happen when it comes to all the charity and doing stuff, people are doing it for all others, people giving charity abroad for this person, for their friends, for the neighbors, but they forget to do all the kind things for the people that are actually within their home.
Yeah,
I think that's very important to remember, to like, so contribute to your home, contribute to your family, but more than just money, just like helping around the house and contributing in a way to help others, making your family smile. I think that's a very important fact that people forget. They're too busy focusing on everybody else that they forget about the people who are in the same house with them, for their family. That, I think that's really important, because although it's good to help others, the main thing is like to be able to help those around you as well.
Yeah, it's like charity at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do that one first. But yeah, that being said, again, it was really nice talking to you guys. I think we mentioned a lot of good points for today's topic. And I guess the best way to end it, if our brother Faik, aka Halal Man, if you could tell us how we can motivate ourselves in the next 30 seconds of this episode. I think that would be good, man. I think that would be great.
Okay. We'll make it okay, how to motivate yourself in the next 30 seconds. Okay, imagine this. You carry on living your life every day as you're living it now. But then towards the end of your life, you're able to see the person you could have become if you hadn't wasted so much time and if you lived up to your potential. Now, at that very moment, you think, was the life you lived really worth it? See, the thing is, right now, you have the potential and the power to decide who you want to be in the future. So the question is, who do you want to be?
Oof. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar, wow.
Allahu Akbar.
Powerful.
Yeah, Saad, put like an effect on that. In, so it's like echoes.
Personally, I want to be Eren Yeager. I don't know about you guys.
What?
Eren Yeager.
Who's that?
He wants to be an anime character.
Anime character. The only anime character you need is Yugi Moto, bro. Three Egyptian god cards. You don't realize the police are shirking it. They call them Egyptian god cards.
It's an Illuminati.
Damn it. Ahmed, you can kill Titans all you want, but can you wake up for Fajr, bro?
That's the real Titan out there, bro.
But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode and found it beneficial. Jazakallah khair, Faik, for joining us for today's episode.
Alhamdulillah.
A pleasure having you, man.
Likewise.
A pleasure having you.
Happy to have you.
May Allah accept this from us all. Ameen.
We have some really, really, really exciting videos coming up as well this Ramadan. So please do stay tuned for After School at Dawah. Make sure you subscribe to One Step Closer 50. Why do you have such a weird name for, man?
You explained it.
I'm joking. Okay. One Step Closer 50. Make sure you
subscribe. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
But yeah, with that said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. And take care.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.